from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, July 19th. Coming up, mental health crisis services are often few and far between, but one solution might help fill this gap. We'll learn about the living room approach in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois State Police will start keeping clear and present danger reports to prevent some people from obtaining a firearm owner's ID. Alex Degman reports.
An emergency rule requires state police to maintain those records instead of destroying them if they're of no immediate use. It's in response to the alleged Highland Park shooter's ability to obtain a FOID. Local police sent ISP a clear and present danger report following a 2019 incident, but the suspect at the time did not have a FOID and had not applied for one, so police got rid of it. State Police Director Brendan Kelly.
This was a common sense, reasonable step for the Illinois State Police to take to be able to arm our officers with as much information as possible to be able to make these very difficult decisions regarding clear and present danger.
The emergency rule could last up to 150 days, but state lawmakers are expected to consider a permanent change sometime this year. I'm Alex Degman.
The Catholic healthcare provider OSF will only cover fertility treatments for its married opposite-sex workers. That's according to a new report from Bloomberg Law. Reporter Shira Stein says sexual orientation falls under federal anti-discrimination laws, but OSF's status as a religious employer adds some legal uncertainty.
There are certain, liberties that religious institutions are allowed to take with the law if it falls within their religious beliefs, but there are boundaries on how far that can go.
OSF Healthcare is a Peoria-based chain of hospitals and other healthcare services located mostly in downstate Illinois. It's operated by the Catholic Sisters of the Third Order of St. Francis. In a statement, an OSF spokesperson says their policy complies with state and federal laws, including the Religious Freedom and Restoration Act, as well as directives drafted by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops for Healthcare Services. The Urbana City Council is considering whether to allow a second plasma collection center to settle in the city at a former Save-A-Lot grocery store. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, those frequenting the first plasma center give it positive reviews.
Cars whoosh past the Kid Plasma Center on Lincoln Avenue. Brandon Olson has just spent hours in the building, donating his plasma in exchange for a card preloaded with cash. Urbana City councilors expressed concern at their meeting last week that plasma collection centers like this one encourage low-income people to sell their plasma more often than is healthy. Olson isn't so sure. He hasn't had any side effects in the 2 months since he started donating.
I've never had a side effect or anything. No bad experiences. Never drowsy or nothing.
Octapharma Plasma has proposed building a new plasma center in a former Save-A-Lot grocery store on North Broadway Avenue. The city council postponed its vote on the center to a future meeting. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Last week, the Urbana and Champaign Fire Departments worked together to complete their biannual high-rise training session at Sherman Hall in Champaign. The departments split into smaller groups and rotated through three skill stations. One station taught the firefighters how to use fans to clear smoke out of stairwells. Another showed them more efficient ways to move fire hoses upstairs. And the third drilled them on using fire pumps to supply water to high-rises. Trent Short is a lieutenant at the Urbana Fire Department. Short says it takes more firefighters to put out fires in high-rises than in single-family homes. That's why the two departments work together.
Well, with high-rise training, our water supply situations are different on how we get water to each individual floor versus a single-family home. It's like being at a residential fire times 10. So as many people as we can put on the scene, the better off we are.
Short says the high-rise training sessions improve each year as the Urbana and Champaign departments adopt techniques from other fire departments across the country. Still to come, we'll take a closer look at the new living room approach to mental health crisis services. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
The new drama Hotel Portofino focuses on the Ainsworths, a British family who relocate to Italy to run an upscale resort on the Mediterranean. The family struggles to keep up with their elite clients' extravagant demands. This series is a fun cocktail of drama, glamour, and mystery. It's an enchanting look at early 20th century Italian culture. You can stream this and other acclaimed period dramas as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. A newly revamped National Suicide Prevention Lifeline just launched. The number, 988, aims to make it easier for people in crisis to connect with trained counselors. A vast majority of calls will be resolved over the phone, but there will be people who need in-person help. Side Effects Public Media's Carter Barrett reports on how crisis services are often few and far between, but one solution might help fill this gap.
The first piece of this rollout is a place to call. So when people are having a mental health crisis, they can call 988 for immediate support. Next is someone to respond, which might look like mobile crisis teams. Finally, the third piece of this is a place to go. In other words, if someone is having a mental health crisis and needs in-person intervention, where will that be? In a lot of the U.S., that's in emergency departments or even jail. But throughout Illinois, there's nearly 24 facilities called living rooms. One of these is Unity Point Health's Unity Place in Peoria, Illinois.
There's kind of a home atmosphere. We've got recliners, large-scale TV, a Wii, a kind of a kitchen area that we have snacks and that kind of thing for guests that come in, a couple tables.
Christina Gerlach is the crisis services manager. She says these living rooms are meant to be a comfortable, welcoming place for people during a mental health crisis. People can just walk in, no doctor's note or payment needed. The ER is not an ideal place to receive mental health care. They're loud, sometimes chaotic. Staff don't always have mental health training. These living rooms are designed as an alternative, where people having suicidal or homicidal thoughts, panic attacks, severe depression, or struggling with substance use can easily find help. Living rooms are usually grant-funded, and Gerlach says they're primarily staffed with peer recovery counselors. This requires about a year of training and personal experience with mental health struggles or addiction.
We have absolutely had clients come in here who were definitely struggling and who came here and have said, this saved my life coming here, having this to be able to talk to somebody.
Earlier this year, 19-year-old Benjamin Kowalczyk had never heard of a living room. After a bad breakup, he says everything felt like it was crumbling around him.
And I had fallen into a bad depression state. You know, at that point, I realized, like, I need to get back into therapy and I need to do something about my mental health because it's declining very quickly.
Worried it would take too long to see his old therapist, Kowalczyk's mom was told about Threshold's Forever Hope, a living room in Chicago. So they went, spent about 30 minutes connecting with one of their counselors. In their follow-up meetings, they helped him find a therapist and psychiatrist.
And it was just such an enlightening experience going there for the first time. It made me feel like I actually had somewhere safe to go.
Now Kowalczyk says he's doing a lot better. Matthew Tassinari oversees the counselors at this same living room.
There's no better feeling for me to have someone come in and they're at the worst, you know, moment in their life. Sometimes they're in distress, they're crying. To have them leave with a smile on their face, to know that they have a safe place to come back to, it's truly amazing.
One of the downsides of living rooms in Illinois is they aren't open 24/7. But the benefit of these facilities is promising, even though the research on them is limited. In one small study, researchers found of the more than 200 visits to one living room outside Chicago, 93% of visitors didn't need further care at an ER, which saves money for both healthcare providers and patients. Michelle Haland, an associate professor at Rush University in Chicago, led this study.
80% said the most helpful thing was the ability to talk through the situation and problem solve. 67 said the coping skills they worked on was the most helpful.
There are at least a dozen states that have similar models, including Arizona, Tennessee, and Colorado. In Illinois, leaders of living rooms aren't sure if the 988 rollout will mean a sudden influx of visitors, especially since it may take time for people to become familiar with the 988 hotline. In the meantime, they say they're carefully watching for any upticks.
I'm Carter Barrett, Side Effects Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have sunny skies today with a high of 88 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Tim Shelley, Emily Hayes, Sydney Wood, and Carter Barrett. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.